The latest incarnation of the enhanced federal unemployment benefit, worth $300 a week to anyone collecting unemployment benefits, expired in early September, and there's no plan from President Joe Biden to offer another federal benefit on top of what states provide. Also expiring is language that made unemployment benefits accessible to so-called gig workers and people who have been unemployed for an extended period of time. And while the state's unemployment rate is still well above what it was at the start of the pandemic, there are also many employers in New York looking to hire, potentially negating the need for an unemployment sweetener from Washington, D.C. To make sense of this evolving situation, we're joined once again by Russell Weaver, an economic geographer and director of research at Cornell University School of Industrial and Labor Relations. Welcome back to the show, Russell.
Thanks for having me.
So the reporting I've read indicates that more than 1 million New Yorkers around the state were benefiting from the federal rules that expired on Labor Day. Do you have any sense of who these people are? Like, do they come from low-income jobs? Are they from certain sectors? Are they in certain parts of the state? What do we know about who was benefiting?
Sure. So, one big chunk of it, so the programs that are ending, a lot of the more generous benefits that we've seen throughout the pandemic have extended benefits to gig workers, to the self-employed, the folks who don't normally qualify for traditional unemployment assistance. And so a lot of the recipients of those benefits are going to be affected, whether or not their work has come back, whether or not demand for their services have come back. They're seeing their benefits expire, as well as, given the latest data, New York State still does have the second highest unemployment rates of any state in the U.S. And so there are a lot of jobs that just have not come back. We saw month over month another decrease in retail and in restaurant jobs due to some increases in cases because of the Delta variant. And so there are a lot of folks who are still affected. As you said, a lot of the reporting is between 1 and 1.2 million residents in New York are still benefiting from these extensions and enhanced programs. And so that's going to create a big cliff and potentially take a lot of money out of our economy.
Yeah, what do you think has been the effect of the enhanced benefits, which have existed in some form for about 17 months now? You mentioned that this is going to take money out of the economy. So is it safe to assume that the existence of these benefits has been a real injection of money into the economy previously?
Yeah, that's very safe to assume. So all of the empirical research, even outside of COVID time, suggests that unemployment insurance benefits have one of the largest multiplier effects of dollars in the economy. So for about every dollar of unemployment insurance that we spend or that we allocate, about $1.60 are spent. And so that money really does add up, and it became such a lifeline for so many people. Even though we have seen strong job growth since the start of the calendar year 2021, we're still over 5 million jobs short of where we were prior to the pandemic. And that doesn't include the jobs that would have been created but for the pandemic. So that real number is well over 5 million jobs that we're still short in the economy. And so, all of those folks that are unemployed, they live in households. They've been receiving these enhanced benefits that have been more generous than in the past. And so that's going to mean a hit for a lot of households that are going to see their household income decrease. The Century Foundation is reporting that might be up to a third of households or more are going to see household income decrease as a result of these benefits drying up. And so what that means is when your household income decreases, you become more hesitant to spend. You look for places to cut corners. And you know, for better or worse, our economy is driven by consumer spending. And so if households are starting to spend less, that's going to have a reverberating effect throughout the economy where businesses might see more slack demand, which could, create problems for them in terms of hiring back or hiring more or paying the wages that they're promising to pay. And so now this is going to be a real issue. Just looking at the Bureau of Economic Analysis personal income data between the first and second quarter of 2021, where we did see about half of states opt out of any sort of enhanced unemployment benefits, there was a decrease in personal income. While it had been increasing from quarter to quarter, there was about a 6% drop in personal income between the first and second quarter of 2021. And a lot of that was driven by a 15% decrease in income that was being allocated by unemployment insurance systems. So that's, again, something to keep an eye on. We'll see more data from the BEA on personal income in early October. So we'll really get a sense for how this benefits cliff that just occurred earlier this week is going to affect household income and personal income.
Is there any indication in those states, almost entirely with GOP governors, which ended the enhanced benefits earlier this year, that the drop in income is due to people coming off the enhanced benefits and accepting jobs that simply paid less? Or is it the case that these people are likely still unemployed and just getting only what their state unemployment system offers and not that enhanced federal sweetener?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question that has been under the microscope since benefits did start to dry up starting in early June in some states. And so a lot of the empirical research that has looked at the data that's come in since then has shown that there's been no sort of statistically significant increase in rehiring in states that did cut benefits early. So nothing more than variation that could be explained by chance alone, basically. The rehiring percentages and numbers in states that ended benefits early are very similar to those that still retained benefits through this past week. And so that hasn't really been, the boon that a lot of analysts would argue that it was going to be, that if there wasn't this incentive not to work, as some have called it, that more people would be rushing back to open jobs. And that hasn't really been the case. And one of the reasons, there are several reasons for it, but one of them is that it's not as much the quantity of jobs available being the issue. There are jobs out there, as we see from postings and even media coverage of it. It's the quality, the location, and the flexibility of the jobs. So a lot of the jobs that are out there are paying relatively low wages. They might not have the flexible schedules that folks still need to navigate the pandemic. While schools are reopening across the state, there's still some hesitancy to send kids back to school. There are still at-home care duties that need to be taken care of because of folks that are contracting the virus, people that might not have other options. And so there are a lot of issues that go beyond just if we have the quantity of jobs that we need in the economy. And so these issues are all playing a role. And like I said, it wasn't just the shutting off the valve and ending unemployment insurance early in some states created this massive wave of rehiring. That hasn't really been the case.
In case you're just joining us, we're discussing the expiration of enhanced federal unemployment benefits. And our guest is Russell Weaver, an economic geographer and director of research at Cornell University's School of Industrial and Labor Relations. So if you control the levers of the federal government right now, what unemployment policy would you be administering?
Well, that's a great question. I would probably go above and beyond the powers that I had to get more resources in the hands of working folks and people in need. But one policy is just to simply continue the extension of these enhanced benefits. The president has come out and said that there's no appetite for that at the federal level right now, that doesn't appear likely to happen. Instead, his cabinet has advised states to use some of the federal funding that was provided as part of the American Rescue Package given to states so that states could opt into extending benefits and providing more generous benefits if they wished. In New York State, we do have an inhibitor on that Governor Kathy Hochul has come out and said that New York won't be doing that because there are some legislative hurdles that don't seem surmountable at the moment for extending unemployment benefits again for New York State. And so we're in this sort of, I don't even really know how to describe the phase other than there's no movement in any direction except for down for the folks who are falling off of this benefits cliff. And so extending the program at the federal level seems like the right policy to me, but I don't see that that's going to happen in the near future.
That hurdle you referenced with regards to Governor Kathy Hochul is what she's described as a state law that doesn't allow for an increase in benefits while the unemployment program in the state is running a deficit. know, I gave you the scenario where you could run the federal government. Let's run the state government right now. Would you, if you were Governor Kathy Hochul, call state lawmakers back to Albany and tell them we better amend this state law right now so we can offer unemployment benefits above and beyond what we traditionally do, which I believe is capped at about $500 a week, no matter how much money you might have made before losing a job?
Right. Yeah. $504 a week, I believe, is the number. And yes, I would. Now, it is worth noting that Senator Michael Giannaris has said that in his study of the law, he does believe that an extension could happen without legislative action, that there could be action taken by the governor. Again, I haven't reviewed his read on that legislation, but either way, it seems like whether it's executive or legislative, that action can be taken. And absolutely, it should be. So New York is in different circumstances from other states right now. As I mentioned, based on the latest data, we do still have the second highest unemployment rate of any state across the U.S. Downstate has been hit especially hard and still has well above normal levels of unemployment. And so, you know, with all of that being said, and with as quickly as the Delta variant has been spreading, you know, we're seeing many new cases a day. We're still averaging, you know, over this past week, about 4,000 new cases per day in New York State. We don't have any predictive capacity to say whether or not more shutdowns are going to come, or we're going to see the same level of economic turbulence and closure that we did early on in the pandemic with the Delta variant and new variants that are coming. But because that possibility is out there, because we still have such high unemployment, because many people are still struggling, I think there's a very solid case to be made that yes, we do need to find some way to get together and figure out how we extend these benefits further.
It appears, based on my understanding, that the date chosen for the expiration of the federal benefits, the Labor Day deadline, was kind of based on the idea or the hope that things be back to normal by then for the fall. Obviously, things aren't radically different now than they were this summer in terms of the virus or the unemployment picture. So that might not have been the best date to use for rolling these benefits back. As you look to the future, though, what would be a realistic set of circumstances where it would be okay, as far as you're concerned, to decrease the enhanced benefits?
So I've seen the case being made out there, and this is another sort of arbitrary date, but just based on projections, I've seen other think tanks proposing March of 2022 as a potential near-term goal. If we could extend through then, we'd be sustaining and helping a lot more families and supporting a lot more jobs. I think one of the issues in selecting a date is, as you just said, prognosticating September looked like a reasonable goal for trying to scale down potentially some of these benefits, just because of how quickly transmission was declining because we had the vaccine. It seemed like the pandemic was going to be somewhat more manageable and under control by September. But clearly, with the variation that we see in vaccine rates, the inability we've had to contain the pandemic and the virus, we're experiencing a new surge right now. We're experiencing a major uptick in New York State and in many of our regions across the state. And for that reason, there is still a lot of uncertainty out there. Going back to, I hate to keep playing the same records, but going back to the idea that we're still at least 5 million jobs behind where we were prior to the pandemic. We had a lot of people exit the workforce, some by choice, but many not by choice. It's just that they gave up looking for work, or they had to stay at home to engage in care duties, or that potentially they're compromised and they're not looking to go out in the workforce because their immune system wouldn't be able to process a case of COVID. For all of these reasons, I think that the best policy and the best action going forward is just to extend these benefits, extend the provision of these benefits, and figure out a way that they can just be more generous permanently. So the U.S. notoriously has one of the least generous unemployment insurance systems of any developed country, and we really did see the gains to be had and the positive effects on the economy from expanding unemployment insurance during the pandemic. It did support a ton of jobs. It enabled personal spending. It enabled some households to actually save. And it's enabled workers to become slightly empowered to to know whether or not a job that they're going to go out that's advertised, that they might have another choice, that they don't have to take the first thing. They might be able to find something that allows them the flexibility in their schedule to also perform care work at home and go to work and sustain themselves and sustain their household. So for all of these reasons, the benefits have a ton of positive effects. And listening to some of those think tanks and maybe setting a temporary goal for winding them down of March 2022 seems like a reasonable path forward at this stage.
When do you think we're going to start to see fallout of any shape or form from the expiration of the enhanced benefits?
So I think we'll know that pretty quickly. It's hard to say exactly when. Looking at some of these data sets that get released after the fact that have a lag with them, as I said, we'll see some early indicators early next month when the Bureau of Economic Analysis does release personal income data sets. So we'll see how much personal income may have dropped as a result of the benefits cliff. But I think we'll also just be seeing signs in slack demand at different types of establishments. And I don't know exactly how new unemployment insurance claims are going to look in the near future. I don't know if people are still going to be applying at the same rates they were during the pandemic if the enhanced benefits aren't there. But we do get week-to-week indicators of new unemployment insurance claims. And so monitoring that, I think, will be pretty telling as well.
Well, we've been speaking with Russell Weaver. He's an economic geographer and director of research at Cornell University's School of Industrial and Labor Relations. Russell, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.